Well, a warm greeting to you. Linda and I always find it a real joy to be with you. Before we turn to the Scriptures, I want us to pray for a family. Thanks. I was told I didn't even have to do anything, so my bad. I didn't know enough. Is that too loud? There's a family in Laredo, Texas that really needs our prayers. Michael and Debbie Morales, they're dear believers, and they usually always come to the fellowship conference. Their daughter, Nicole, 23 years old, died yesterday from COVID, immediately after delivering their first child. Daughter Christina, is that right, Linda? Little baby girl Christina. And her husband, Alfredo, is in the hospital also with COVID. So the family is very, very devastated and greatly needs our prayers. Michael and Debbie Morales, their granddaughter, Christina, which was Alfredo and Nicole's first child, and obviously Alfredo, her husband, needs our real prayer. So let's bow in prayer. Let's agree together that God would come to their aid. And I would like to ask you as brethren, you know, we're to bear one another's burdens. We're to be in bond with those who are in bonds spiritually. So please pray in the days and weeks ahead, if you would, for the Morales extended family and for Alfredo, the father of this dear baby girl. Father, we want to, as a family of faith, as children of the King, as mutual children of our Father in Heaven with Michael and Debbie, we pray this day, O Lord God, that You would, in all that it means, come to their aid at every level. These things are beyond our understanding. We can never know why, but we can trust that You are good and wise because You have said to us that You are throughout Your Word. So we pray for Michael and Debbie and their hearts and their minds and the loss of this daughter. We pray for the daughter Nicole, for her siblings, five or six of them who love her. We pray for Alfredo. We ask, Father, not only for healing, but we pray that You would draw him to Christ. Lord, if indeed it's true that he does not know Christ, we pray, Lord, You'd use this great, great sorrow to cause him to turn to You. We pray for little baby Christina, Lord Jesus, that You would take care of her as Debbie takes care of her now in the interim. Give them all grace to adjust, to function. Pour Your love in their hearts. Surround them with comfort. Wrap them up in a blanket of Your grace. Speak to them every day the words in their hearts that they need for the day. We just commit them to You. In Christ's name, amen. One verse of Scripture is our text, 1 John chapter 1. I'm speaking today to believers. And you may be a young person and you really believe you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But you don't fully understand, you don't fully appreciate it, what it means that God, the Father, would love you individually. Maybe you don't get that really, but as a young person, you believe you have come to know Christ. But the love of God isn't greatly real to you, where you experience it in your soul. Or you're a person who's been a believer longer, but you doubt the love of God the Father for you regularly. Your past haunts you. Your sins come up against you as an enemy. The catalog of past memories aren't all erased, and you are robbed in having assurance that your Father loves you perfectly all the time. And you're doubting His love, you're struggling about it, robs you of assurance. It steals your joy. It hinders your confidence in prayer to the Father, because you think, I'm just not good enough that He would hear me. How could He really love me like we hear always that He does? This message this morning could have two titles. You can just choose whichever one you like. Our fellowship. Well, let's read the verse first. Verse 3. 1 John 1:3. John says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you. That, now notice this, here's a horizontal fellowship or communion. That you also may have fellowship with us. That's horizontal, Christian, true communion and fellowship with each other. But notice the next phrase, which is our text. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father. That's the text. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father. Now, I'll read the whole verse to give the context. And with His Son, Jesus Christ. So perhaps the next time I come, if I live, and God willing I come back and preach, perhaps I'll preach on the next phrase. Our fellowship is with His Son, Jesus Christ. But today, notice that John differentiates. He separates this, and he says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Today, our fellowship was with the Father. Now, if you want the other title of the message, this is it. Knowing the love God has for us. That's from 1 John 4, our scripture reading. We know and believe the love God has for us. Now, let's just ask yourself this question this morning. If you're a Christian, in your heart of hearts, in your good days and your bad days, in your days of walking well in the Lord, your days of blowing it, your days of encouragement or discouragement, your days spiritually when the skies are blue and the sun is shining bright and you're greatly encouraged in the Lord, or those days where you're down in the dumps spiritually and it's all spiritual cloudiness. Do you truly know and believe the love that the Father has for you personally? Answer the question in your heart. Can your heart say a resounding, yes, I know and I believe it? Or does your heart pause and you say, sometimes I do, but sometimes no? Or you say, you know, honestly, I don't ever really know. That is what this message is about this morning. Because our enjoyment of our relationship with Christ, our assurance of our salvation and our joy regularly depends on our believing this truth, that our fellowship truly is with the Father. These are John's words about fellowship or communion with God the Father. Now the word fellowship and communion mean the same thing. We have communion with one another, which means we have fellowship with one another. It's a mutual sharing of relationship. And we have fellowship, which is communion, with our Father, which is a mutual shared living relationship. Remember the Bible says in the Old Testament, Noah did what? Walked with God. That's communion. Enoch walked with God for how long? Huh? 300 years. Now that's a walk. Think about it. He walked with God 300 years. And then he was taken. He just walked on to heaven. Lord, maybe the Lord says, you know, Enoch, this is good. Just come on with me. They couldn't find him. He was gone. That's communion with God. Abraham in 2 Chronicles 20 is called the friend of God. Now listen, beloved, redeemed believers always have had, to some degree, real communion with Christ. Do we always feel it and experientially know it? No. But we have this fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And by the way, with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to have time even to get that. We have a Trinitarian fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The last word in 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 13, verse 15, Paul says this, and may the grace of Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So, remember David deeply had fellowship with Christ, with Christ, really, with the Spirit of Christ that was in him. David had communion with God. Now listen to this though. While the Old Testament saints experienced that in a measure, now in Christ, by the gospel, believers are in a relationship and a realm that Old Testament saints never experienced. Because they were under a covenant that was inadequate and temporary, right? They could not know the fullness of the new covenant, blessing of communion with God, now that the veil is rent and we've entered into the very holiness, the very holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way. We have something they never experienced in the Old Testament. And now, in fact, let me quote John Owen on that. Quote, "This communion and fellowship with God is not mentioned in express terms in the Old Testament, but the reality is found there. But the clear light of it, this fellowship we have with the Father, the clear light of it and the boldness of faith in it is discovered in the gospel by the Spirit's ministry to us." So that means that believers in the new covenant, from the least to the greatest, can come to know fullness of communion with the Father that the Old Testament saints never experienced. Theirs was only a foreshadowing here and there, in partial, of what would be ours in the gospel. Now we are in a relationship and realm that, because of our reconciliation to the Father, and because of our adoption as sons and daughters, we are no longer aliens and strangers. We're no longer outsiders who are against God. But now we are, Paul says, we're saints and members of the household of God as true sons and daughters. And that, beloved, because it's true, we've been brought into a relational communion and fellowship with the Father. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. That's what John declares here. Our fellowship is with the Father. The word here, as I said, fellowship means a mutual communion. It's this idea of sharing something. Now, I want you to notice, John doesn't say that we need to have fellowship. He says to every Christian, our fellowship is with the Father. So you have it if you're a Christian. You have a communing relationship with your Father in heaven. And how you view that and how you enjoy that privilege will determine your assurance and your joy and your usefulness. Because if you and I are always doubting the Father's love for us and we're drawing back in unbelief, we're drawing back from Him who is engaged toward us all the time only in love. Do you believe this morning as a believer that your Father in heaven only relates to you in love, only feels toward you joy and love? How do you answer that? It's very important. If we believe the gospel truly and accurately, then the answer is yes. That's the only way He views us, and that's the only way the Father relates to us. So John doesn't say we need to get this fellowship somehow or gain it, but rather we need to live in this communion that we have with the Father, as it is especially revealed in the writings of John's Gospel. Because John has been called the Apostle of Love, not just because he laid on Jesus' breast, but because he writes more than ever about the love of God for us, all through the Gospel of John, all through his three epistles. John is majoring on this reality of the Father's communion with us in love for us. So I have three simple points following this morning. Number one, what is our communion with the Father? What is it? Number two, His communion with us. Number three, our communion in return back to Him. Number one, what is our fellowship with the Father mentioned here? This is it. It is a communion of sharing mutual love. It's the Father declaring and showing and letting you experience His love for you as His child. And it's us in return sharing that love back with Him as our Father. This is between God the Father and you, His child. We have this fellowship with the Father, up close and personal. It's an exchange. It is a communion of love. It's a mutual sharing of love between us and our Father. Your Father and you, and you back to your Father. Listen to John Owen on this. Communion with God is a joint participation of love the saints enjoy from God. A joint participation. And much of our communion in relating to the Father needs to be receiving and believing the love He has for us and walking in it and returning that love from our hearts in prayer and in worship and in obedience back to Him. Your obligation as a Christian, first and foremost, the Old Testament says it, doesn't it? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what John is talking about. This mutual love. We receive His love and we rejoice in the gospel. A love that's unchanging. And in our lives, we return that love to our Father who rejoices over us with singing and with love. The Father's communion with us. The fellowship the Father has toward you is His love for you. Do we always feel that? No. We're not talking about feelings. The dominant, you may never have seen this before. I want you to listen close. The dominant emphasis in the Bible about God's love is speaking about God the Father. Now, yes, the love of Christ is mentioned here and there, and we know it's true. And the love of the Spirit for us. But the dominant emphasis in the New Testament, especially, about the love of God, He's speaking about the Father. Have you ever noticed through the New Testament, it will often just say God. For God so loved the world. Or God commended what? His love. Whenever you see the title or the name God in the New Testament, and there are exceptions, but normally, as a general rule, when we see God referred to in the New Testament, it's referring by inference directly to God the Father, always. So hear these verses this morning. I'm just going to give you some about the love of God toward us. And they're all referring to God the Father. I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's Old Testament, isn't it? I have loved you with an everlasting love. That means you, as one of His own, He never began to love you. He's always loved you. We can't take that in. We can't even hardly begin to believe that. But against all logic, against all feelings, against everything in our past that would say that's not true, God has said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Will we believe it? How about this one? For God so loved the world. Who's it talking about? The Father? Because it says that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus said this in John's Gospel. If anyone loves me, my Father will love him. You ought to study this theme out of the love of God in the New Testament. It's almost always referring to the Father's love for us that is communicated, that is communed toward us. That's our fellowship with Him. Romans 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Jude says this strange word. Keep yourself in the love of God. Isn't that interesting? Now, I do want us to go back to 1 John 4. We heard it this morning on the screen, some of it, but turn to 1 John 4, and we're going to see this same thing. John, over and over, talks about this. And every reference in 1 John 4 here, he's talking about the Father. I'll just read it, and you follow. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, can be from God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He who loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His own begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Then back in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. God is love. And he who dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. These multiple statements about the love of God toward us. Love is of God. God is love. If God so loved us, we've known and believed the love that God has toward us. And one of my favorites, 1 John 3. Behold. Who could continue the verse right there? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. So brethren, listen. Here's how your Father has loved you. He loved you from all eternity past. In love, He predestined you to be His. By love, He redeemed you through the cross. In love, He adopted you as His child. In fact, everything He's ever done toward you or ever will is in love. Yes, His discipline of us is love. His sanctifying work in us, which often is painful, that is love. He leads us in love. He prunes us, John 15, in love. And His feelings and His thoughts toward us are those of perfect love. Do you really believe that? Your assurance depends on it. Your joy depends on it. Having loved you, John 17 says, John says about Jesus and the disciples, having loved them, He loved them to the end. It's the same for you. He will love you perfectly, unchangingly, freely, to the end until He takes you with Him. Our Father communes with us by communicating through the truth of it and in experience of it, by communicating His love to us in delight of us. That's the Father's fellowship with us. Next, our fellowship in return with the Father. Love in return. We love Him, that's return, because He first loved us. His love takes the initiative. It's all of grace. Everything toward us in the gospel flows out of the eternal fountain of the love of God the Father in sending His Son and redeeming us. And we have this reciprocal gospel joy and duty to return that love, and that is our communion with the Father. He communicates Himself to us in love and desires ours in return. It's an interchange. It's an intercourse of spiritual love between us and the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. As one writer said, God loves us that He may be beloved to us. So this regular mutual communion begins in His love for us and is experienced in our loving Him in return. Now just think about how Jesus... Think of some gospel examples. Peter blows it royally, denies the Lord 3 times. A look of love pierces him when Jesus looks at him. Peter goes off and weeps and repents bitterly. Post-resurrection, Peter hasn't seen the Lord yet. He's only heard. Jesus said, the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter. And then they saw him on that morning on the shore of the lake. They're out fishing. And they see this stranger on the shore. And they say, it's the Lord, it's the Lord. And Peter jumps in the water and takes off. What are the first words Jesus said to Peter after Peter's denial and after the resurrection? Who remembers? Peter, do you love me? Think of this. It wasn't, you knucklehead, I told you the rooster would crow. You didn't listen to me. So you go to the back of the line in this discipleship. Nothing like that. Peter, do you love me? What did Peter say? Here's reciprocal love. Yes, Lord, you know I do. But Jesus doesn't leave it alone. He's going to restore him more. Three denials, three statements of love. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I do. Peter, do you truly love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Look at that communion. Look at that exchange of love. That's the way we're to be with our Savior. When we blow it and we're a mess, we draw back. Oh, I'm too dirty. I just got to get better. I got to hide till, let me find some leaves to cover up with. And all the time, the Lord Jesus is saying, you love me? Come on. Think of the woman who comes to a meal and washes Jesus' feet, not with a wet towel, with her tears. And she dries them with her hair. She's pouring out her love on Him without saying a word. That's reciprocal love. Do you ever pour your love out on Him without saying a word? You're with Him and you just feel, oh Lord, thank You for Your steadfast love which never fails. You love me. You love me. How can it be? And your heart bows in tears and awe and wonder, and you're just soaking it in, and your heart's worshiping Him, and you never say a word. That's fellowship with the Father in love. Thomas, after the resurrection, my Lord and my God, Thomas worships Him, and it's out of love. And what did Jesus say? Notice this connection. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. We love Him by returning our heart love to Him because He's always loving us. This is our communion. This is our fellowship with the Father. And we love Him in return with our heart's love, with our worship from the heart without a word, like that woman. And we worship Him in love out of and with a heart who follows Him and obeys Him and wants to please Him. Our fellowship of love is reciprocal. He delights in loving you. You joy in loving Him in return. And we need to tell Him. Just think of the simplicity of the fellowship you have with the Father to tell Him you believe in His love for you and that you love Him in return. To pray it. To pour your heart's love upon Him. Listen, beloved, our mutual fellowship of love with the Father is only experienced fully when we love Him in return. He for us and us toward Him. For our fellowship with the Father to be real and experienced, we must apply this to our minds and our hearts. How do we do that? Let me give you three ways to apply this. Number one, For our fellowship with the Father to be real and experienced in our lives continually, number one, we must believe and receive His love for us. If we don't believe it, even if we're a Christian, if we don't believe it, really believe it, if we're not persuaded of it, we will not have communion with our Father. It breaks down. We must, as John says, we must know and believe the love that God has for us. Do you truly this morning know and believe the love the Father has for you? Oh, you know it intellectually, doctrinally, theologically. But do you in your heart with assurance, with joy, with certainty, with resting in that, know the Father's love for you? Some of you, deep down within, likely, you don't experience this mutual fellowship of love. You may believe that He loves you less than He loves others. You may believe, I'm not as lovable as Phil is. I know God really loves that sister because she's so godly, but the Lord can't love me like He loves her. You believe His love is less for you because half the time you're a mess. He doesn't love less because you're a mess. His love, in fact, someone said it this way, if I can remember it, God's love isn't affected by the condition of the object He's loving. His love isn't like ours. But some of you doubt His love and you are in unbelief about it because you labor under the idea He's disappointed in you. He's frustrated with you. His love has cooled off toward you. It's kind of a long-distance love. Yeah, He loves me, but you know, that's because He's God and He has to love me. But He doesn't like me. He doesn't have positive feelings all the time toward me. He doesn't enjoy me and rejoice over me and love me unconditionally. That is unbelief about what God has said in His Word, what He's recorded, in His love for us. John Owen again. Christians often live with very troubled hearts concerning the thoughts of the Father toward them. Many dark and disturbing thoughts arise and rob us. But few believers carry their hearts and minds in faith to, listen, Owen says, to rest their souls in the love of the Father. Now, that's what's needed if you struggle about the love of God for you. You've got to come to the place of believing this and resting your soul in it permanently and to not be troubled by it anymore. Can you say to the Lord this morning, Father, in my weakness, in my sin and need, I believe what Your Word says. To the wind with what I think and feel, my objections, my arguments, I accept and believe Your love for me. I believe You fully love me and I will rest in Your love for me. And Lord, I need nothing more now than to enjoy and rejoice in, Father, Your love for me. Is that you this morning? Let God do this for your soul today. You receive His communion of love for you by believing it is true for yourself. We do not enjoy the communion of His love toward us until our hearts in faith receive that love from Him. But when we do, there is nothing more acceptable to Him. There is nothing more pleasing to Him than our rejoicing in His love for us. John Calvin was right, quote, "To believers, for believers, a persuasion of God's fatherly love is more delightful than all earthly enjoyments." Are you persuaded today of God's fatherly love for you? Period. No strings attached. No performance needed. No improvement needed. No sinless perfection needed. No all struggles gone, so He'll love me easily. All that, it's period, no strings attached. Do you have a persuasion of God's fatherly love for you? That Christ, as Paul said, that Christ loved me and gave Himself for me. Spurgeon said, "Nothing binds me to my Lord like a strong belief in His changeless love." Believing the love He has for you gives Him glory. It honors Him. And it delights His heart. Do you realize when you believe this love He has for you and you return it, it actually affects your Father in heaven? He's a person who feels perfectly and He relates to us. He receives your love back and He delights in it. He rejoices over you with singing. Somebody ought to be shouting and dancing the aisle. But anyway, let me give you application number two. How do we enjoy this communion with our Father? Number two, we must rest satisfied in that love. And I would say to you this morning, make a determined choice in faith before God. Rest your soul in the Father's love for you. It doesn't matter if He loves Spurgeon. It matters this morning that He loves you. Rest your soul in that love. Your past. Look, His love for you is like a vast, perfectly still, calm ocean of love. And there are no waves coming in and out. There's no storm on the sea of that love. There's no ripples in it. It's like a perfect, calm, satisfied love. And He rests in that love He has for you. He rests in His love for you. So it's time for us to rest in His love for us and for Him. We need to do the same. This is our fellowship with Him. So, beloved, here's an exhortation. Repent of all contrary thinking today. Put away all inaccurate, low views of your Father in heaven. Repent of all wrong and dishonoring views of Him. Stop thinking that His love is like yours. View Him as the lover of your soul. Because He's only that. He's no longer a judge. He is your Father who loves you with an everlasting love and redeemed you in love and adopted you in love as a child. You as parents, don't you just feel love for your children? Don't you accept them as they are? Don't you embrace them? And you're all in for them. Why are you greater than your Father in heaven then? He's that way in a multiplied, infinite way toward us as our Father. The Father's love, a tender, kind Father whose love is communicating with you always. And I promise you this, the Father's love is the only rest for our hearts. That's where your stability comes. That's where your assurance comes. That's where your joy will spring from. The love of the Father. You know, I thought last week about Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. Do you remember, you don't need to turn to it. Do you remember why Jesus even told those parables in Luke 15. It's quite remarkable. Let me give you the context. And I just want to comment on the parable of the prodigal son. Luke 15, 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. So here's Jesus, and here comes sinners galore. Publican, sinner, they're just drawn to him. They're coming to him. And what does the religious crowd do? They start murmuring. Pharisees and scribes murmured, this man receives sinners and eats with them. That's why Jesus tells the parables he tells about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Those parables are not about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. They're about the Father's love for sinners. It's astounding. It's the Father's love who, when the Son got sick of being home and bailed, the Father loved him in it. And it never changed. And when the Son got homesick and headed home, all the Father felt was what? Love. And he met him right where he was. No scolding, no rebukes, no lecture, no cold shoulder, no mention of the past. Only in the parable, love. And beloved, this is saying to us, toward us, in our sinful neediness, the Father gives and pours out and sheds abroad and feels toward us divine love always that is not affected by our sins, failures, regrets, guilt, shame, weakness, or any human flaw. But you may still be believing that your sins, failures, guilt, shame, your past, your flaws affect His love for you. Stop it. This is what the gospel is all about. Do you believe the love that God has for you? If we view Him in any other way, it breeds unbelief and we draw back. But as we look upon Him as only being toward us a loving Father, we will have increasing sweet communion in love with Him. Application number 3, and I close. Resolve today that your communion with the Father in His love will be that. And be no more troubled about it, that it's not true. Trouble not your Father by doubting His love anymore. His love isn't like ours. Remember, divine love, unlike human love, is not dependent on its object. Resolve today and forever, to paraphrase as one writer said, lay aside your reasonings, your arguments that rob you, and take up the love of the Father, and this will open your soul to rejoice in the love of God more and more. Beloved, your fellowship as a Christian is with the Father. What is it? It's His loving you all the time, only. And it's your returning love back to your Father because of the gospel. Love so amazing, so divine, calls for our communing with our Father in love all the days of our life. You know the hymn. I'll quote one stanza of it. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. You are His treasure. You are His treasure. He rejoices over you. He rests in His love for you, fully satisfied in His love for you. And today He says, dear child, my dear son, my dear daughter, today rest in my love for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truth in the words of the Bible today. And we are reminded in this one short, really simple verse that our fellowship, this fellowship of love, reciprocal exchange love, that we are to believe and know it and receive it, that we're to return back to You. Father, this love of fellowship we have is with the Father. Lord, change our hearts and do a work in our hearts and our minds today that changes our communion with You forever. Lord, blessed be Your name today. Beloved ones, because it's true that the love of the love the Father has for us. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace through believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.